Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 508, the prep and landing edition here at the Caffeination. I am Paul.
And this is Steve.
And we are attempting to give you a wonderfully concise and consistent show here today at the Caffeination headquarters. Unfortunately, we're both a little bit just out of our element, I guess you could say. It's just not working all. We're not firing on all cylinders. I don't even think we know where they all are. But as per usual, we are broadcasting live over at live.caffeination.com, and as per usual, you can also find any of this content after we're all done with it over at www.caffeination.com. That's where everything gets pretty much shoved after we're done, whether or not we deem it worthy or not. But if you are looking for a way to submit comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, you can do so via email at paul@caffeination.com or...
at steve@caffeination.com.
All right, you're on the ball tonight. You're ready for it. Let's do this.
Give it about 5 minutes. I'll be out.
All right, so we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. The reason this is called Prep and Landing is not because of that awesome cartoon that came out a couple years ago. Did you see that? Two tiny little elves.
Yeah, I
like the idea behind that. But it's called Prep and Landing because, unfortunately, we didn't have as much stuff in the can as we usually did. This has been a bad week for trying to write technology stuff. We pulled a couple things out of the archives that you're going to see, stories that we wrote about previously, and not everybody saw, but we thought they were pretty interesting. Particularly one thing that's been kind of popular lately, El Día de los Muertos.
Yeah.
Which of today happens to be one of the two possible days in which it could be. Today's November 2nd, so they said, at least on Wikipedia, we rocked a wiki on this one.
Oh, there you go.
And it's the November 1st and 2nd, so since today's the 2nd, it's El Día de los Muertos. Dos. Dos muertos, por favor. So for all of our Spanish listeners out there, I apologize for butchering your language, but hey, I do it to English every episode, so you should feel honored that we decided to hit yours up by now. Next time, Swedish.
Again, the hate mail at caffeination.com.
Yeah, there you go. Caffeination@gmail.com for any of your hate mail that you feel like throwing our way. If you head on over to the website, there's a whole list of other fun stuff that we have up there. We have reviews, recipes, links. You can join the mailing list. There's a whole bunch of funny little things that you can do. The mailing list is fairly incomplete, rather badly spelled, much like all the articles that are out there. But tonight's show, we're going to attempt to give you as much information as possible in one short, concise little show. The idea behind the Caffeination, in case you've never listened to an episode, which in case if you've never listened to an episode, this is probably not a very good one to listen to, but you know what? We're not done it yet. It might be fantastic. You never really know. But you know what? If you've never listened, we really like to take the two worlds of caffeinated culture and geeky things and kind of explain them for the everyman so that anybody can really understand the fun little things that are out there. And, you know, everybody geeks out about something, so we're pretty much... going to scour the internet for all the fun little links that everybody likes to share around and just kind of give you the strange and wonderful news that's out there.
That's what we do best.
That's what we try and do best. I'm not entirely sure if we actually do it. So what did you do geeky this week there, Steve?
Let's see. I opened Gears of War on Sunday and I beat it today.
Today's Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's 3 days.
Yeah.
Good job. Yeah. See, all right, there you go. That's what being the gamer monkey here at the Caffeination is all about.
That's
all right.
What I'm good at.
So what would you say overall? What's your rating?
My rating?
Scale of 1 to 10.
1 to 10, you know what? I give it an 8. I mean, I've only played a singular player, and you know what? The storyline is really good.
Okay.
The gameplay is fantastic, and you know what? I think it's worth it. I think, actually, this game is probably more towards multiplayers and online because the storyline is so short.
Okay.
But, it's definitely worth grabbing.
Okay, I'd like to see how that all works out. Hopefully I'm going to get a chance to play it. It's going to be one of those things where we can go online and play a couple people who may listen to the show. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, if you're on Xbox, my handle is a lot easier to find than his, so you can find mine by just going to PZUL. That's Papa Zulu Uniform Lima at on Xbox, and I'll let you know what his is if you find me. So
yeah,
it's Gamer Monkey with a bunch of threes and zeros all thrown in there. So
yeah, something like that.
All right, geeky this week. I got a new toy in work. I got an iPad, which is fantastic and is going to hopefully help me do all kinds of lab managery kind of goodness. Unfortunately, I haven't figured out how to use everything on there yet. And since I'm coming from the Android ecosystem, I'm not entirely used to having to spend money to do absolutely every tiny little thing that's around there. It's an expensive ecosystem to be a part of. And I remember this from, you know, when I had an iPod. It was like, I mean, it's like you pay for every tiny little thing, and I'm all right doing that. But every once in a while, you know, SSH has been around for a while,
yeah.
And it's how I connect to all my servers. And I kind of thought that would be an app out there that somebody would have released for free. But the one SSH app I saw that was really, really good was like, you know, $4.99, and I'm like, you know, I want something I can just install and use. Now I have to kind of go through the whole motions of getting, you know, work to pay for the apps as well, and that's going to be a little bit more of a pain in the rear end. So.
Yeah.
Not entirely sure how that's going to work out. I love it. It's really fun, but I still want an Amazon Fire or Kindle Fire.
There you go, Kindle Fire.
So I can't wait to see exactly how that all works out. And, you know, when I actually get into it a little bit more, I'll tell you my biggest issue with it is the sign-on thing that I was talking to you about. When you have an Android device and you sign into one Google service, every single other Google service uses those credentials, and you're just signed in. So you don't have to sign into Google Maps. You don't have to sign into any of the other ones that are out there. And the cat says hello. But, you know, you're just signed in, and that's the way I like it. With the iPads, like, you know, I signed into Gmail, and then I opened up the Google Maps app, and I had to sign into that. And there's all these other things that I guess I'm just not used to having to get prompted for the passwords that many times.
Yeah.
And on the Android phone, if you have a keyboard, you know, sitting at the bottom, even the software, if you just do a long press on the top row of letters, the QWERTY row, you can get the numbers that are right above them. And whereas the keyboard on the iPad, from what I can assume is the iPod as well, or the iPhone as well, you actually have to switch to a different screen to hit numbers, which is a little irritating when you're entering passwords.
Yeah.
So it's cool. We'll see how this all works out. And I'm still in the futzing around with it mode. So if you have any apps that you think that I would enjoy, particularly free apps, please feel free to fire an email off to caffeination@gmail.com. And, you know, hey, I'd like to take a look at some of the ones that are out there. It is gorgeous. It is fun. It's just it's a completely foreign ecosystem for me right now. And that takes care of the first story as well.
There you go.
And the next little story, which is kind of a little fun thing that we're doing in Geekcraft, I've been looking for this Halloween special. This is kind of a Halloween wrap-up edition here.
Yeah. Because
we have a lot of stuff that, you know, people don't post until after Halloween because they didn't find it. I've been looking for the past 2 years, somebody on TV to actually play Garfield's Halloween special. I remember every year at Halloween, they would play this after we got back from trick-or-treating. So it was either at 8 or 8:30. So by the time he got back, Garfield's Halloween special was on. He was going, candy, 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 candy. And I was like, I just really wanted to see it, and I hadn't been able to find it. So there's actually a link in the show notes to the entire full 24-plus minutes of the Garfield Halloween special on YouTube.
And which we just finished watching.
Yeah, we just finished watching with my son, and it's cool because he's getting to that age where he's starting to laugh at all the goofy jokes. So it was really funny. All right, next little story we got for you here, Steve.
I think it's a little celebration that today is, in fact, Cookie Monster's birthday. And
you know, we probably should have some spice cookies or something down here to celebrate with them, but
yeah, unfortunately, this was like a last minute notice, as you know, the rest of us was.
Yeah. Well, it was just one of those things you kind of find out. You're like, hey, you know what? November 2nd happens to be Cookie Monster's birthday.
Yeah, and I don't know how we came across this, but yeah, I think it's one of those stories that just flies by. And in fact, we also have a link to where Cookie Monster is intrigued on becoming a Saturday Night Live host.
So if you get a chance, you should just keep that one in your back pocket and check it out. I already posted it to the chat room as well, but it's hilarious. He goes through an entire fake episode of Saturday Night Live and why he should be a host. I think it was originally posted last year in response to Betty White getting to host the Saturday Night Live because of like a Facebook campaign or YouTube campaign. So it's kind of funny to see, you know, Sesame Street, and it's really not a kid-friendly audience.
No.
For Saturday Night Live, and he does some, I wouldn't say he does off-color jokes or even out of, they're just jokes that are more of an adult focus, right. And you wouldn't really expect him to be doing it, because he did like a Lady Gaga impression and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cookie face. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty fun, but you know. All right, next little thing we got for you here today, and we already talked a brief bit about this, but today is El Día de los Muertos. And a little while ago, we actually found a link to an artist by the name of John something. It got cut off. John Karpinski. Yeah, it was one of those one that was automatically posted to the blog. It was about last year that we found this. But John Karpinski actually has an entire lineup of Star Wars-based creations that are done in the same style as the skulls that are dressed up for El Dia de los Muertos. So it has like the kind of scrolling style that goes across it, which is really fun, but it's just something you don't necessarily normally associate with Star Wars.
No, not at all.
I just thought it was pretty cool and wanted to pass it along to everybody because it was kind of topical and people were somehow finding it on the website today. All right, next little thing that we got for you here is...
There's more pumpkin carvings, which is what we've had the past couple of weeks, and... A couple of these were actually just designs that were found online. For instance, you know, the whole Mario and Bowser was the one we had, which is actually, you know, quite detailed. And
I don't know how people carve down to just that right level where, you know, all of a sudden, like, the stuff comes up from underneath. Like, I myself have done it, but it's usually more trial and error when I do it. And there has to be a trick that I just don't know. So, yeah, I mean, I've tried wood carving tools, and they don't really work as well as you would imagine. But I haven't gotten to like where you can just scrape down to just the barest of bare essentials there.
Yeah, and you know, somehow it just turned out perfectly with that. The other one we had was the Zelda, you know, Triforce and symbol. It was actually turned out not too bad itself. I think it's a little off. It's missing a piece of the Triforce right here.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it has to have one contiguous little hole there to make it a good pumpkin,
yeah.
A good style pumpkin either way. So. And then the last little pumpkin thing we have, we decided to just kind of cut to the chase. And these are 63 Great Geek Pumpkins. Everything from a power symbol, which you would see back there, which we actually have in a cup of coffee, to RSS. They have the Death Star one, which I showed last year. That one is probably my favorite because it's really, really detailed. They have the Autobots and the Decepticons. I mean, quite literally, anything that you can possibly imagine in a geek kind of realm, they have there as done as a pumpkin. And some of them are templates, and I like templates to a certain extent, but I don't know. I think, you know, trying to freehand something and going in there on your own just makes it a more fun pumpkin.
Oh, yeah.
In my estimation.
Well, I gotta admit, I think the Tetris one came out pretty well as...
Yeah, the Tetris one took a lot of detail to actually do, and that's another one that looks like it's just carved to just below the surface, so it's not even a hole into it, so it's pretty cool. What I think we should do is after I get the laser cutter up and running, we should try and find a way to feed the pumpkin into the laser cutter and really go whole hog on it. That would be just awesome.
Oh, that would.
All right, next little story that we got for you here is a really, really cool collaboration, I guess you could call it. This is a... What would happen in Star Wars if an AT-AT had wheels instead of legs? It would ruin a major plot point. Because, I mean, they had the speeders going around there with the chains, and they tripped up the AT-ATs, they fell when they were fighting on Hoth, and it's just... It wouldn't work if they had wheels.
No,
and I never really understood why they were walking around. Like, if legs... I mean, because they never really... picked up high enough to actually make any difference as to whether or not they were like track based or wheel based. So somebody actually took and cobbled together a toy AT-AT and an interesting thing called an axial rock crawler, which is kind of like a build your own remote control car, right. And made a one off toy, and it looks pretty awesome there.
Yeah, that actually turned out pretty nice.
I'd like to actually play around with something like this. I mean, it looks like the weight up at the top of the actual thing isn't too much to actually cause any kind of detriment to the actual maneuvering of the beast itself. So I thought it was pretty cool and wanted to share it with the group. All right, next little story we got here is one that made it in just under the buzzer last time, but we didn't get to put it into the last show.
Unfortunately, and what this is a Game Boy Zombie, and an artist by the name of Donald Kennedy who actually did a couple of different zombie designs. If I can remember, he did... Yoshi, mm-hmm. You know, all different other kinds of zombies, but, you know, this intrigued me the most. It's actually, you know, I didn't think to take an old Game Boy like this and turn it, and he actually did quite an amazing job with it. I don't know if he makes them individually or if this was just that one single one that he sold, but I knew it was on sale, and I think it was about $100 that it was on sale for.
That's not too bad at all.
Nah.
That's in fact, that's actually pretty awesome. So one of the weird things that we've noticed about the little live setup that we have here at the Caffeination, when I share the live shows that we actually do, and this is a small aside, when I share the live shows that we actually do, when they get posted to Facebook and whatnot, they actually show up as just like private events that only like 5 people are invited to. So if you're actually looking to try and get in on these live shows, it's really kind of helpful to follow us over on Twitter. And I'm caffeination@twitter.com, and you are...
Gamer Monkey.
Okay, so again, if you follow me, CaffeNation, and you ask for what Steve's username is, well, we're going to put a little bit of the social icons up there under the podcast feed so that you'll be able to follow me or Steve.
That's right.
We're going to simplify things for you. If you head on over to caffeination.com, they're going to be up there quite shortly. But you know, it's irritating because I've had people say, hey, man, I really tried to watch your show, and it didn't show up on Facebook. And I go over there and look, and it's like it's posted to like 5 people. One of them is my wife, who's watching TV upstairs right now, and she's not about to listen to the show that she can hear through the floor. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like we're just trying to sort out all these funky little issues.
Yeah.
First world problems. All right, next little story that we got for you here is traditional pumpkins this year. What we decided to do, my son wanted to do a pumpkin, and every year I kind of went more and more elaborate on the crazy pumpkins that I was carving. And I just, you know, with my bad arm and everything, with my special arm, I wasn't really able to get the proper torque to do a good detailed carving, even though I have the wood carving tools and everything else. And besides that, the giant pumpkin that we bought this year rotted about 4 days before Halloween, so I wasn't about to carve into it. Because it probably wouldn't have smelled too pretty.
No, I don't think the wife would have appreciated the smell.
No, not at all. So we did kind of a little simple homage to the original Halloween pumpkins. We didn't do the crooked mouth because my son wanted a vampire pumpkin. And I decided to do a happy pumpkin because my daughter's quite possibly the happiest kid on the planet.
She is.
It's pretty freaky. So I was just curious if anybody out there had any of any traditions that you do every year for Halloween. I know our family, we like to snuggle in and do a Charlie Brown Halloween night, and I'm going to make sure that we do the Garfield on the same night, because I'm really not a fan of that You Just Got Elected Charlie Brown junk that they put on right after it.
Yeah, you know, I the other night I watched it, and I think the half hour is just plenty.
The half hour where it's like the Great Pumpkin and all that good stuff, and then they throw this election thing in there after the fact, and you're like, really? This is what you're going with?
Yeah.
This is your lead-in to an awesome? No, we're not going there. I think we're gonna be rocking out Garfield next year when they decide to go electoral on us.
That's right.
All right, we're going to put in the next thing up here. What do we got next?
Next we have a train station that was decorated completely out of 8-bit graphics. And what happened was a Finnish artist, which I know I'm going to get this wrong, Lars Arrhenius.
That's probably right,
you
actually.
You know what? And if so, I am proud of myself on that one. A couple years ago, he was pretty much commissioned to redecorate this train station. So, sure enough, brought out the best of the best and started tiling the whole place with different... aspects of 1970s, 1980s video games, including, you know, Super Mario, Pac-Man, Zelda. You know, I think Dig Dug's in there somewhere.
Yeah, I think they actually did like a little tribute with the tubes in there for Dig Dug, because he kind of like digs a path as he's going around.
Yeah, and so. And actually, you know, excuse me. I was searching online, and it's actually pretty popular, and it even made it into a music video from a band from Finland, Madcraft, which is like punk pop, I believe is what it is.
That's pretty cool.
And yeah.
All right, so good find. That was kind of fun. We're on camera 2 now, by the way. Got to make sure we hit up the proper designations as we're going through here. I think we actually got it fixed so the people who are watching the live stream can actually see the images that we're showing on the desktop as well, and that always kind of helps.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll continue to work throughout this show. The past couple shows when we tried it, it was going all kinds of funky. A
little bit.
So it was like a black desktop. So I think we got it working out now. All right, fun little story. It's kind of a one-off story. If you are a geek or a sysadmin or anything like that, and you've ever had to do a little command line editing of files on your web server, chances are you might have actually used Vi. It's a incredibly old, in the computer sense of things, it's a 20-year-old program, and it happens to have been born today. So 20 years ago today, they actually came out with Vim, which is the improvement of Vi, and it's a command-based editor. So when you open it up, I think you've seen me use it, but when you open it up, it has pretty much just solid text on the screen. So if you want to insert, you have to hit I, and then you can type whatever you want.
Right.
Then you have to hit Control-C to close that out, and if you want to delete something, it's X, which seems a little bit irritating, but the reason that people use it is because you can multiply commands and multiply things. So if I wanted to copy 5 lines, rather than selecting 5 lines, I hit YY5 and then P to print it, and it would just drop the next 5 lines in there.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, I've been using Vi for probably around 11 or 12 years, and I still learn new commands every time I'm in there. I'm like, how do you really do this? And you can hit Control, or you can hit the colon button and hit set NU, and all of a sudden it drops all the number lines down. So you can see if it's something says error on line 56, you can drop down to line 56 and it's all counted out for you. So it's pretty cool. But you know what? Happy birthday to Vi and Cookie Monster.
There you go.
Vi doesn't even use cookies, so that's not really an easy way to... And I'm looking at the wrong camera here, but you know, Vi doesn't even use cookies, but that's a kind of a fun thing.
And just a reminder, we're on camera 2.
Camera 2's right there. My bad wing pointing at camera 2.
Your special wing.
My special wing. All right, so the next little story that we got for you here is out of an arcade game that lets you game and drive. This is a pretty cool concept.
Yeah, you know, and I remember seeing this and, you know, the arcades around, you know, Time Out in the mall and everything like that. And, you know, to see it actually being driven out of the arcade is actually pretty neat.
I love the idea behind it, and I'm just I know this can't in any way, shape, or form actually be street legal.
No.
Because, I mean, I think you have to have an unobstructive view of the road, but it just looks really cool.
Yeah, and it says here that they use you know, cameras and some type of software to, you know, let you see in front of you, and you know, all you need is for that to go down and you're going blind.
You know what? Starship Enterprise never had that problem, and they used cameras everywhere. That's not actually glass in front of you, just letting you know we're back on camera 1, by the way. But so, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, that's pretty cool. What I can actually see that doing is for more like driver's ed courses.
Yeah.
To where you could have, like, could you imagine having a car that's parked with this system in it to where they disengage the drivability of it, and you're sitting there and you're playing around with a real car, and then all of a sudden they flip a switch and your car turns into a go-kart and you're actually driving something.
That's awesome.
And it's just like the controls wouldn't change. Nothing would change. It's like all of a sudden it's like, oh my God. But what happens if somebody loads Crazy Taxi in there instead of
I think there'd be some trouble there.
And if you know, the funny thing is, if you actually are watching the live stream, you can see our crazy cat making an appearance, which is rare. You usually only hear her on the show. But she's trying to climb up the wall now, so I think she might need food. But all right, next little thing that we got for you here at the Caffeination Podcast is the wonderful world of the Star Wars alphabet. Basically, an artist decided to take this concept and run with it. They cobbled together a whole series of different letters, and I don't know why it's actually mirrored on there, but you know, you can kind of get the idea behind it. B is Boba Fett, C is C-3PO, D is Darth, and you know, E is Emperor, and you go all the way down. G is Greedo, and these are interesting things. And W is Wookiee. I thought W was going to be Wedge, actually, his buddy in the Starfighters.
Yeah.
This is another geeky thing that I forgot this week, but I actually got my son. He was kind of sick over this weekend. I actually got my son to watch Star Wars Episode 4. In its entirety, because we weren't going to start doing a piecemeal or anything like that. So I got him to watch it in its entirety. He's asking me relatively intelligent questions as we go through. And he's like, why do you like Darth Vader? I was like, because Darth Vader's really cool. And he goes, but he just killed everybody on a planet. And then, you know what? I really didn't have an answer for that. I was like, yeah, you know what? Actually, you're kind of right. Yeah, well, it wasn't necessarily Darth Vader. It was more the Empire as a whole.
That's right.
It's not like the Emperor even stepped in and said, blow up Alderaan. I mean, it was more like the Commander Tarkin or something like that who made the call to actually blow it up.
Yeah, Darth Vader was just following orders.
You know, in the first movie, I didn't realize how much of a kind of a weak character he was.
Yeah.
I guess I had forgotten about it. His legend has grown beyond the actual movies itself, but he was actually kind of weak.
A little bit.
He was more of like a priest figure. It seems. It's like, oh, you know, with your old religious ways, use the Force. No, well, not use the Force. That's the other side.
Yeah, that's it. Wrong team.
Yeah, wrong team. Oh, wait, no. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant when compared to the Force, the power of the Force. There you go. That's his fun line in there. All right, moving right along to the next one. You want to take this? This is just kind of all kinds of out of the ordinary.
Yeah, this is probably one of the most out of the ordinary things we've found, and it's the Royal Data Throne. And what this basically is a toilet made out of all different kind of circuit boards. And you know what? As weird as it sounds, it's actually pretty neat.
It does look pretty spiffy one way or another that this is actually up there, but there's way too many bad, non-family-friendly and child-safe things that you could say about this, but
yeah.
You know, download the brown load, whatever you really want to say about it. I mean, I'm pretty sure that this explanation and the toilet itself don't hold water, but it looks really kind of on point.
I mean,
it opens up. That's one good thing about it. They have, you know, a whole bunch of different views about it, and I love the fact that they actually, I don't know how much weight this thing would actually hold, because I'm pretty sure I'd shatter that thing if I sat down. I mean, let's not mince words here. That's not built for government work.
And I like the little fan, you know, to make sure that, you know.
Yeah, that's actually a really nice touch. The fact that they have a tiny little fan there to help exhaust any possible unwanted
fumes,
problems that they may or may not have.
And my question is, when they clean it, do they need, you know, some type of antivirus?
You know. Oh, wow, really? You're going with that?
I had to do something.
All right, so moving right along to the next thing. And this is again, your story.
This would be, and basically what it is something that, you know what, I was just waiting to find it come true, and Assassin's Creed will eventually come to the big screen. Yeah, we actually just found this. Sony Pictures just got the film rights for the movie. So it's only a matter of time before it actually, you know, comes to life.
Yeah, I don't know which of the characters that they're actually going to be focusing on. Is it going to be on Ezio or Altair?
You know, they really don't say. You know, I actually believe it's like just in the beginning, so
okay.
they really don't have plans yet. But I'm hoping, you know, that they stay on point, you know, with the game to the movie, because, you know, as a lot of people will write, you know, a lot of game to movies, you know,
they're horrible.
Yeah, and you know, the best example would be the Super Mario Brothers that keeps popping up.
Oh, God, that is a foul movie.
And you know what? I forget the guy's name who played Mario.
Captain Lou Albano?
But he said, he said the worst movie ever made was Super Mario Brothers. He regrets every day of that.
Oh, my God, that's actually pretty horrible. It's like, yo, I regret that paycheck. If I could give that paycheck back, I would.
But, yeah, this comes just in time for the release of the Assassin's Creed Revelations, which comes out in 2 weeks.
Why don't they just call it Assassin's Creed 4?
Because it just doesn't have that feeling.
Revelations?
That's right, Revelations.
So is this the book of Assassin's Creed?
That's right.
Are we talking a little biblical nonsense here?
You might. You just might.
You know, I actually kind of hope that they focus on Ezio, because he has a much fuller backstory at this point. I mean, Altair, they kind of touched on him, and it was one of those things, like, do you ever realize in any movie that's out there, they never focus on the times when, like, the really cool, like, secret cult or something like that is in power? It's always, like, as the faded glory of an empire or something like that. It's like, wouldn't it be really cool to have a movie where the Jedis are, like, you know, full strong and they're in the middle of a war or something like that? And I'm not talking about the last three Star Wars that were made, because those are just bad.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, we're talking about, you know, like, you know, the prime of something like that. So I'd like to see a video game where it's actually the prime of the assassins before Altair even rose, because that would be really cool. And if you've ever played any of the video games, they have a lot of it. I think it's probably one of the richer worlds that's out there, and it doesn't really have a whole lot of things that are in the same genre.
Right.
And did you ever play any of the Thief games?
No.
So, I mean, that's the only thing that I can kind of put as a similar trait. So, I mean, they're just fantastic. And unfortunately, the studio kind of disappeared. So we're never really going to find out what happened to Garrett or any of the other thieves that are out there. So,
you know what? The one thing I'm curious about this whole movie thing is who would play that part of Ezio?
I don't know. I hope it's not a famous actor. I hope now
you need somebody offbeat.
You need somebody offbeat, somebody who, you know, has the look, who can do the accent without sounding corny. And I have no clue what the actual voice actor who does Ezio's voice looks like. But if he looks anything like the character, they should just hire him.
Yeah.
Just for continuity's sake. I mean, that would just be boss. All right. The next little thing we got for you here is Ezio Auditore de Firenze is Soul Calibur V's guest character. And I really can't wait to see this. Because, I mean, I love the fact that they didn't take any of his weapons away from him. So he has the sword. He has the hidden blades. He has the short sword. He has the gun that's hidden in his wrist. He has the crossbow that he can pull from his back. I mean, he is strapped to the gills for the Soul Calibur universe.
Nice.
And it's like, that's exactly what you want to see. You want to see, like, Soul Calibur, you have to suspend all disbelief. The last Soul Calibur rendition that they had out there, which we both spent many hours playing, has Darth Vader and Yoda in it. And I specifically bought Darth Vader because I had to have him. And it's like, he's there. You need to have him. If he's an available character, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If he was in Mortal Kombat, I would have bought him there, too.
Just like with Mortal Kombat, I had to buy Freddy Krueger.
Well, you had to, and unfortunately, it wasn't as cool.
No, unfortunately not.
Darth Vader had some pretty good lines.
Yeah.
And, like, his character was big and lumbering, but God, if he hit you, it was over. we had some pretty good battles with that.
And, bring it back to the story before, we did find a picture of the guy who does the voice, and and unfortunately he looks nothing like him.
Alright, so we'll put a link to that particular picture up in the show notes. He doesn't have the if you've ever seen the character of Ezio Auditore de Firenze, he doesn't really, he looks like a very Italian gentleman with, you know, like the strong chin, and he has like the scar, like, I mean, the scar's makeup, who cares? He's very olive toned. He has a very dark complexion overall, and this guy looks like an accountant. So it's like Ezio Auditore de Firenze, CPA. So I mean, maybe he sort of looks a little bit more like the modern version. Whatever that guy's name is, and I can't remember off the top of my head because he's not the primary dude in there. But
starts with a D.
Not Damon. Okay, we'll find out. Yeah. Don't worry about it. We'll get back to you. All right, so that about wraps it up here for the Geek Cruft. We're going to dive right on into the food and caffeinated bets as per our usual. And what are you doing living caffeinated this week?
Iced tea.
You just finished it up?
I just finished it up.
Yeah, I've been rocking a lot of French press coffee, and we just finished off the coffee vodka today. So I think it's time to make a little state store run. For those of people who are outside of Pennsylvania, apparently we are incapable of buying alcohol, booze, what have you, unless it's run by the state. So that's why we have the state stores. And whereas you people can go to the supermarket and get all the booze and fun stuff you want, we have to go to a special store run by the government.
That's right.
It's not necessarily the best place in the world to see things. But hey, you know what? It is what it is. So we got to make a trip back to the state store to get some more vodka. All right, the first thing we got up for you here, just to kind of give you a little taste of the season, is a couple of little pumpkin and coffee recipes that we talked about last year, actually. I love some of these. Some of them are really cool. Like, there's actually a Kahlua-themed pumpkin cheesecake recipe that I'm really kind of dying to try. And, by the way, little pro tip. I know a while ago we talked about the pumpkin pie fudge brownies. Tried to make them. Here's a pro tip for you. If you buy a pumpkin pie in the supermarket and it's one of the ones that's frozen, keep it frozen until you bake it, because I left it in the fridge and it turned into pumpkin water, which was not appetizing at all. So just a little pro tip for those of you people out there.
Pumpkin water.
Yeah, it was pretty foul, actually. So we're just going to leave it at that and say that we're not going to be trying that recipe until the memory of that horror fades. So it all was not well And Null was not sunny in Philadelphia. No. All right, so there's a whole bunch of fun little recipes that are up there, and this was a guest post by one Tara Arley, so we'd like to thank her again for that. That was fun. Next little thing we have for you here is particularly focused on just fall coffee recipes. And whereas I might not necessarily be rocking out all of these different lattes and everything, but this is kind of a... an interesting take on recipes, because they start at the small, it's, you know, 1 teaspoon of canned pumpkin mixed into a latte, all the way up to something where you can brew an entire chocolate-spiced mocha as a pot of coffee. So I really recommend looking at these recipes if you'd like to serve a whole bunch of different people who are out there, because they're really kind of cool to serve a different amounts of people who come over your house. And, you know, Thanksgiving's coming up, the family's going to start to visit all over the place, so you got to start to plan for how the proper way to serve some fun stuff for people out there.
That's right.
All right, next little thing we got for you here,
which is Thanksgiving sushi, and this is actually a story that came out last year, and you know what? It's just an idea that I never thought would come to life, and
it's poultry in motion.
Yeah, it's poultry in motion. And all this is you know, all the stuff you normally find on a Thanksgiving dinner table, you know, just rolled up in seaweed. So, you know, yeah.
So is it cooked turkey though? I mean, that's what I mean. I know it's not sashimi, so it's not like raw turkey being thrown out there with a little bit of sriracha sauce or something like that.
No, it's roast turkey. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, that's an interesting way. Like maybe you can make some like hors d'oeuvres for your Thanksgiving plate. I mean, how cool would that be to have like a little taste of what dinner is going to be, and without having to buy extra food, buy a couple slabs of seaweed, throw them down, and roll them up.
I'm just curious to what cranberry would taste like in sushi.
I don't know, but I'm looking at it, and it looks like they have rice. And while I think the rice is an interesting idea, it's not really what you would want to have in there. You'd kind of want to do that with a little bit of
stuffing.
Exactly. I mean, what you could throw some stuffing in there, mix in a little bit of mashed potatoes.
That's right.
Roll it all up, get it nice and tight in there, and then you slice it down, and it would look a lot better and a lot more authentic. I mean, instead of soy sauce, you're dipping it in gravy. What you feeling with that?
Oh, I'm getting hungry.
I think we might have to try something else other than seaweed at that point.
Yeah,
could you wrap this thing up in? Bacon?
You know what you could do it with? The turkey skin.
All right, that's a little foul.
What's wrong with
that? Okay, maybe a crispy turkey skin.
That's what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay, yeah. All right. I'm feeling you there. Maybe we might have to try this. I know dinner's at your house this year, so we might be coming over, and your mom might try and kick us out of the kitchen.
Yeah, probably.
What are you two doing? Nothing.
Don't scoot.
Turkey sushi, now served. You two are done. All right, next little thing that we saw for you here. I just thought this was really cool and wanted to share with the group. Except I think it could have been a lot better. These are basically shot glasses that have the DC superheroes. Like, these are the Golden Age versions of those superheroes, not the reboots. Or even, like, remotely modern renditions.
Yeah, no, they're old school.
Yeah, these are the Justice League of America and everything. And, you know, it's like the Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, the Green Arrow, Flash, and the Green Lantern. And it's just their face on a shot glass. What I think they should have done is on the back of each one of these shot glasses, they should have actually done like a cocktail or something that you could make that would be like the Batman or the Wonder Woman or something like that. I mean, seriously, how hard is it? Throw some vodka up against a colored liqueur and boom, there you go. I mean, for the Green Lantern, you could have done Midori Sour and like a gin or something like that. Made it a nice little thing with a little twist of lime. I mean, you could have really gone all out. And for the Green Lantern, I mean, you just put like a toothpick in there through an olive and you make like a mini martini. And it looks like he skewered it with an arrow.
Yeah.
You know what? I think maybe we should do our own superhero-themed cordials. I mean, how cool would that be?
That would be...
I think we should do a taste test of that one. That's what I'm feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll do the inebriation. Camera two. All right. I mean, I like the idea. It's just, it could have been so much better. So, I mean, I don't know what anybody else is thinking. All right, next little thing we have for you here. I just thought this was cool. You said you've seen this thing before?
Yeah, you know what? An actor actually sells special alcohol in a in a container just like this. I can't remember. You know what? It's going to bother me, and I'll eventually get to it.
I think it's Sammy Hagar. Cabawaba, his tequila. Or it might even be Rob Zombie. I mean, that just looks like the something he would do. But basically, this is a flask that looks like a skull with an exposed brain in it. The cool thing that I'm looking at here is that this bottle is only $10.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that, you know, I might have to put some kind of function into this, and I might have to, you know...
Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd does?
Dan Aykroyd. Okay. Let me see if I can...
Well, that came out of left field. I would have thought Rob Zombie or something like that.
Yeah, actually, you know what
is
I think...
Is he the Crystal Skull Vodka?
Yeah.
Okay, that's crazy. Oh, Crystal Head. There it is. Crystal Head.
So, actually, I wonder if that's it.
No, it isn't, because the Crystal Head doesn't have the exposed brain up at the top.
Ah, yeah, you're right.
Let's see if we can actually pull the Crystal Head up here.
I knew it was somebody.
All right, so for the people who are watching the live stream, the Crystal Head, as it appears on there right now, is much more of a stylized thing, and it's also kind of expensive. I've seen this in the store. I'm like, wow, cool. Now I'm going to get some vodka that looks like a skull, and then I look at the price tag, and I'm like, wow, cool. I'm not going to get some vodka that looks like a skull. If I do it this way, I can buy some Smirnoff and still have enough left over to buy the Goofy Brain vase and still...
And just, like, pour it in, like,
you know, yeah, there, boom, Dan Aykroyd, what you got now? What you know about vodka?
That's right.
Haters. All right, and then the last horrible thing that we have here for you today at the Caffeination Podcast is a wonderful mug of coffee that looks remarkably like a toilet. It's called the Potty Mug. It's 12 ounces of coffee drink and fury that's dressed like a toilet. I don't know that I'd be drinking out of this.
Nah.
It's not something that I'm looking at and saying, you know what? I wish my coffee tomorrow looked like a crapper. So it's one of those things where you look at and go, haha, isn't that funny? Let's move on.
Yeah, just looking at that just worries me.
All right. So that about wraps it up here today for the Caffeination Podcast. Camera 2. Thank you ever so much for listening. We'll do the rundown here as per usual. If you're looking to send any comments, feedback, suggestion, hate mail, you can do so via email at caffeination@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at paul@caffeination or...
Steve at Caffeination.
And that'll get directly to us. All the rest of the information is over at the website, including the phone number and anything else. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All of the member shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational stuff. Everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. It's a great group of people, so if you have a tech or tech chat-themed podcast, head on over there and you can join in. It's really kind of cool to be part of that community. And last but most certainly not least, this website and all of its fun little friends are hosted over at www.caffeination.com. And I actually got it right this week.
You got it right this week.
So we're back on track. Everything's turning up Millhouse. All right. Thank you ever so much for listening. And stay caffeinated, people.